Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Welcome to another episode of Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today, I'm happy to bring you guys a great guest. He's working in the note space, which, you know, if you guys remember, we had someone on a couple of weeks back talking about notes. So it's interesting to get a different perspective. And Fred also has a book out that details it even more. So, Fred, if you can, give us a little bit about your background, how you got into note investing, and how your day is going.
Thank you, Andre. It's great to be here, and I appreciate the invitation to be on your show today. Little bit about how I got started, Andre. I came from having a very long and successful career. I was working as a computer engineer, and it was really exciting, and I spent many years working at different tech companies, a lot of startups. And what happened was I watched my entire industry get flipped upside down because we were going through the dot-com boom, and then we hit a wall, and it was the bursting of the dot-com bubble. Mm-hmm. And right around that same time, the September 11th terrorist attacks, and mm-hmm. all this turmoil and uncertainty taking place in the world. Mm-hmm. And it put our economy, I mean, especially the tech industry, was in shambles. Companies going under, layoffs everywhere. I mean, that's what the environment was like.
I would like to say this. I didn't mean to cut you off, but it seems like we're in that similar environment right now. We'll keep going.
Yeah, that's true. There is a lot of uncertainty now. And these cycles are cyclical. Mm-hmm. Right. The time period I'm talking about was 20 years ago, but these cycles repeat themselves all the time. And through that experience, Andre, I realized that I was way too dependent on the income for my job. Mm-hmm. The only source of income I had was that paycheck. Mm-hmm. And even though I loved the work I was doing, there were so many circumstances outside of my control. And I learned that it didn't matter how talented of an engineer I was or how valuable of an employee I was. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is that if things were not going well financially in the company, I could quickly lose my job through no fault of my own. Correct. And so with that, I turned to alternative investments. And the reason why is because I saw the huge value in being able to buy and build assets. Mm. And these assets, when you own them, they generate income for you and cash flow. That's what I wanted. And so I wanted to keep working and doing the tech industry. But along with that, I wanted to start building up assets. And what happened was over time, I ramped up my investment activities. I did many different investments, and I started generating investment income until one day came the day where I realized that I was making enough income from my investments to cover all my living expenses. Mm-hmm. And from that point forward, I was now working in my engineering job because I wanted to and not because I had to. And that is a huge mind shift when you get to that point.
You know, it's great because the good thing about what you did was now you're main job was like a second income stream that you really didn't need, right? And being an engineer, I'm pretty sure it was a good one. So being able to have this passive income and a job that you can quit at any given time, and you're just doing it because you want to do it, that's obviously a great feeling. You know what I mean?
It is. It is. It's wonderful. And it's a great feeling. It changes your perspective. It really opens up a lot of opportunities, and you think differently about how you spend your time and
money,
what you'll tolerate, and all kinds of
patience
things.
Level for sure.
Yeah, all kinds of things, and your health. It just allows you to focus on some different things in life that are very important, and that's what I went through. And so, Andre, I got involved in real estate heavily. Love real estate. It's a great asset class. And through my real estate training, I started getting exposed a little bit to note investing. And when I learned about it, I saw that this was something where you didn't own the property, you own the debt. Mm-hmm. You own the mortgage note. And so this is what banks do. This is their business. Banks are not in business to own property. They want to be a lien holder on title, secured by property, and they're earning income on the debt. And that's their whole business model. And so it's really powerful, because what I've learned was that something you could scale into a large portfolio very quickly and effortlessly. And owning properties is a great investment. However, there's a scaling factor, right? After so many properties, let's say you start out with real estate investing, you get a rental house, and maybe a couple more, maybe four or five, and that's going great. But maybe you get to 10 and realize, well, I'm starting to hit a wall, because at some point you can't keep adding more properties without exponentially adding the headaches and aggravation and management. And by that point, you have to get higher help to help you manage the properties, or management company. And that has its own sets of challenges as well. And so you're really limited. But what I found, Andre, was with notes, you could easily scale into a portfolio of hundreds of notes or thousands of notes.
So, not to cut you off, let's elaborate a little bit more on that. So, for the guy, for the people that are listening, you have a mortgage, right? Mm-hmm. And the property is secured by the deed. So, people understand the concept of owning a house, and they know that there's a mortgage. But break down the difference for them a little bit more in detail on, like, what is a note and what is. Go ahead.
A note and a mortgage? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So when you buy a property with financing, you're going to get financing from a bank or from a lender. There's going to be two documents that come into play. They are the note, which is formally called a promissory note. That's your promise to pay. And then there's a security instrument, which is the mortgage. And that mortgage ties the collateral, which is the property, to the debt and secures that debt. So now you go from having a promissory note with no security to, you know, you have it together with the mortgage. Or if you're out on the West Coast, they're called deeds of trust. It's a little bit of different terminology, but functionally the same. Mm-hmm. And that's what gets recorded on title at the county courthouse, that deed of trust, that mortgage document. And that puts everyone on notice that there's a lien against the property. And if the property is ever sold or refinanced and to have to get title cleared, that lien needs to be addressed. And that's going to be handled.
So how can someone scale faster buying or getting into note buying versus property buying? Because in essence, it's kind of the same, but it's not. So give us a little bit more detail on how they can scale that faster.
Yeah, there's a couple things. First of all, one of the most important points about managing a note portfolio is using a servicing company, a note servicing company. And what they do is they manage the note on behalf of the lender, much like the way a property manager manages a rental property for the owner, the note servicing company does similar on behalf of the lender. And so they will collect the borrower payments. They will answer the phone and answer questions from the borrower. They will send out compliance letters and different notices that are required by law. They will manage the accounting on the note, keep track of the amortization table and where payments are and how they're allocated. They send out the tax forms at the end of the year. If a loan is going to be paid off or refinanced, they'll coordinate that with the title company, the escrow company that's handling the closing. And so they do all of these things for a very nominal fee. Usually costs about between $15 and $30 a month per loan. And so it's a small amount of money to pay to have all of these services handled on your behalf. And so with doing that, an investor is able to have many, many, many notes.
But so then how do you, just to clarify for them, why would someone get a note? You know what I mean? So what if that person doesn't pay that note? Does this person, are they able to take the deed? I mean, are they able to take the property over if this person doesn't pay on that note?
Everything is spelled out in the terms of the loan documents, but any loan that's institutionally originated is going to have provisions for
whatever
for recourse, for securing that lien. And if you buy an existing note as a lender, you are stepping into the shoes of the bank that originated that loan. You have all the rights and remedies which are outlined there. And so the lender always has the right to protect their interest in the property up to their loan amount.
So just as an example.
No, you don't automatically get the deed to the property. It doesn't work like that. However, you can pursue the property to recover what you have invested. Absolutely. And that's standard language and terminology that's in loan documents. And so you do have to work through the proper processes and work with an attorney, your legal team, and your servicing company. They will handle all of that for you. But the bottom line, Andre, is that the money you invest, it's secured by that property. And it may take time to recoup your investment, but you always have that. And that's strong security, because many, many investments, they have nothing backing your capital, backing your investments. So that's one of the unique details about alternative investments, is a lot of times there's something securing your capital. It's collateralized in some way, and that's really powerful.
So let's give them an example. So for instance, if Wells Fargo originates a loan to buy a property, say it's $100,000. If a person is trying to, you know, get into notes, they have to buy this note from Wells Fargo for $100,000, correct?
Yeah. Yes, they would, but realistically, Wells Fargo is not going to sell the note to them.
Of course, for sure. Yeah. Just
because, there is a secondary market. Mm-hmm. Just about everyone has experienced where they take out a mortgage loan, and then within a couple of months, it gets sold.
Correct.
Yeah, it happens every day. It's a secondary market. Loans get originated and they get resold. And so my area of focus is buying in the secondary market. But also, as an investor, you can originate your own loans. You can create loans through seller financing transactions. And that's very popular in certain states to do that. So there's some different ways. Also, you can invest. You can get into note investing by investing in a note fund. A note fund is professionally managed. And so for an investor that maybe they don't have the time or knowledge and expertise about notes, they can invest in a fund where you're working under the guidance and leadership of the fund managers, and they're the ones that have the expertise. They have the relationships and the access to notes. And so those are some of the different ways. There's definitely some different methods. But back to your original question, yes, you do need to have all cash for that transaction. Loans are sold as cash transactions.
So how do people, can I ask Rob, he just, like I said, he does the same thing. How do people get access to the notes in the secondary market? Is there a website? Like, how does this work out?
Yeah, a lot of it comes through personal relationships. That's how our industry is based. So you build relationships with sellers of notes. It might be other investors, or it might be note funds. Lots of note funds, they operate, and then towards the end of the year, they want to wind down. And so they sell all the loans they have. This happens all the time with in Wall Street with the different mortgage-backed securitizations. Those last for a fixed period of time, and then at the end, the securitization gets broken down, all the loans get sold. So everything happens, it's through personal relationships. And so what does it take? It takes getting good at networking, going to events and conferences where other investors are there and you can meet them and face-to-face, have conversations. That's how a lot of this business gets transacted.
Ever wished you had the opportunity to buy a stock like Facebook, Amazon, or Netflix before it went public, or was able to get shares in companies like VC firms and angel investors? Well, here's your chance. Go to investfar.com/invest and reserve a position. For the next 1 to 3 months, InvestFAR is allowed a limited number of low-cost shares be available for friends, family, and its community per SEC regulations before it goes public. Imagine being able to 1,000x or 10,000x your investment, like the top 5%. With exclusive opportunities such as this, positions are limited and the window of time is short. Don't miss your chance. That's INV, as in Victor, ESTFAR.com/invest.
If you guys are just, not to cut you off, but if you guys are listening, then you know that you cannot go out. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, can I get a loan? Because people are strapped for cash. You can't go out and get a loan to buy notes. So, you know, it's an all cash business and you can scale a lot faster, like he's saying, because they obviously have a spread between what they're buying the note for and then what the property owner has, what he's paying for, you know, his interest, whatever the case is. So this is a cash intensive business, but you can probably put your money into a fund like Fred has and maybe earn an 8% or 10% return on your investment. So that's one way to get into investing, which is more scalable because you don't have to worry about tenants and toilets and things like that. But on the flip side is, if you don't have the liquid available, then you would have to try to have great credit to go out there and secure the property on your own and doing a mortgage, right? You know what I mean? Through a lender. So his avenue is obviously a lot scalable, but if people don't have the cash, you might have to go into it through a fund or try to find that city or area or a loan servicer that he's saying that has notes that are like $50,000 or $45,000, or partner up with other people who are interested in note investing.
Correct. Yeah. And loans, notes can be in all sizes. I mean, you could have loan balances of as low as $4,000 and $5,000, and it goes all the way up into jumbo loan status, right? Where it's $1 million plus and everything in between. And so there's so much out there, but yeah, a lot of different ways to get involved. I love teaching people how to use retirement account capital to invest in notes, because that's a great source of liquidity for a lot of people, especially people like me that came from the tech industry or working in professional environment, and you move around from job to job throughout your career, you end up having different retirement accounts. There's some great strategies around putting those to work for you so that you're investing in things that you know about and you can control. And so that can be very powerful as well.
So in your book, The Little Green Book of Note Investing, you outline different ways, or like you have any kind of, I would say, is it like a workbook that gives people different avenues to be able to buy notes?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about several different concepts. The idea of how to buy and build a portfolio yourself. So if you want to be an active note investor, that's the approach. If you decide that it's better for you to be a passive investor and invest in note funds, there's a chapter on that, how to invest in note funds, how to analyze and perform due diligence on a fund, which is very important. And other investors are really like the idea of originating their own notes. Maybe they have properties they've owned for long term, and they want to sell them with owner financing. And so you can do that. That's a different strategy. And there's so many different ways. This industry is fascinating, and there's so many subcategories and niches and different things, and they're all good. It's just a matter of finding what fits best for you and your risk tolerance and the amount of time you have.
So with a fund like yours, if someone were to reach out to you, what kind of minimum investment and what does the return look like if someone's, you know, going to your fund?
Yeah, let me talk about this in general terms, Andre. Mm-hmm. So with note funds, the minimum investment amount will vary, and you have to talk to different ones to see which is a good fit. Some funds have on the low end might be $25,000 or $30,000 minimum. $50,000 is quite common, $50,000, $75,000. And there's other funds that have a higher minimum. They might be $100,000 or $250,000. And so there's no right or wrong answer. It's just a matter of these are the basic questions that you talk about to explore and make sure that it's a good fit.
When you were doing real estate investing, how did you start out? Did you start out fixing and flipping or renting? And then how long after did you transition into doing note buying?
I started out with renting, buying mm-hmm. rental properties. Mm-hmm. And as far as transitioning, it was probably about five years mm-hmm. later where I started getting involved in notes. Yeah. And it was a smooth transition for me because I understood a lot about the mechanics of the transactions and how to analyze real estate, because you have to analyze, as part of analyzing a note, you analyze the collateral, right? So you look at the real estate, you look at the values and the local market and those types of things, and the equity positions. And so it was a natural progression for me.
In essence, you know, for anybody listening, if you're evaluating a note, it's you need to evaluate the asset the same way you would, because if someone's living in a market that is an underperforming market, or they don't have any jobs coming to the market, or it's a low credit risk area, you know what I mean? All these things matter, because this person is still paying this mortgage, which is in essence the note. So if they can't afford to pay their mortgage, they can't afford it. It's going to be the same thing. They can't pay the note. So you need to analyze the property just as much as you would the note, because in essence, it's the same thing, I would say.
Correct. That's a huge part of it. Yeah, absolutely. You analyze the property, you analyze the borrower, you analyze the note, the loan documents, all those things come into play.
So I like referencing your book, because, you know, a lot of people, it's hard for them to find this kind of information. Mm. So how could someone, or what would be the benefits of someone picking up your book outside of note investing? Does it talk about other things, like as far as mindset goes? Because you generally have to have a certain mindset when it comes to investing, but specifically when it comes to real estate, because it's a more intensive process, because you have to analyze the market. You have to analyze the person buying the property as well, because if they default, then in essence, you have to either. So that's a good question. If someone has to move out of the property and they can't afford to pay the mortgage anymore, do you have to pay this note? If that person's not paying it, so how would that work?
You don't have to do anything. You're the mm-hmm. lender.
You just take the collateral.
You can choose to wait. Mm-hmm. You can enforce the lien. I mean, there's so many different options. A lot of time in a situation like that where you described, what the borrower needs is time. Mm-hmm. Time and some flexibility. This happens all the time. A borrower, maybe they needed to move out of the property. Maybe they have a job change or death in the family or change in income. And sometimes they have equity in the property. They want to protect that. And so oftentimes they just need time to be able to put the property up for sale, and you can work with them. As a lender, you have full authority to decide what to do or what not to do. And if it makes sense to wait some extra time, that's totally up to you as the lender to be able to do that.
So if you guys are hearing, being the holder of the mortgage note or the note, you can determine if you evict this person or not, in essence. So again, just make the correlation to being the bank. That's what you are to the people that's living in the house. So you can say, you know what? I'm going to give you 3 months to figure it out. You know what I mean? And maybe they'll get a new job or something like that. And then, because you own it, you bought the note cash, so it's yours. So in essence, you can be like, you know what? I'll give you 6 months to figure it out. Or once you sell the house, you can pay me back. Something like that.
Yeah, there are always lots of options, lots of possibilities. And the bottom line is the loan is a secured lien. It's on title. And so eventually you're going to get paid. It may take some time. That's what will happen. And so a lot of it is being patient and managing assets well with your team. You know, you have your servicers and the different vendors you work with, which will help you. They'll be instrumental in that process and providing guidance to you.
So how does someone, from your standpoint, how does someone, you know, give us 5 takeaways or 5 steps to getting into note buying, and how does someone find a servicer once they acquire a note?
Yeah, absolutely. How does somebody get involved? Always start with education. Start with education, pick up some books, learn from there. You can also attend workshops and conferences, find ones that are specific about note investing, and you can go, and it's a lot of education there, a lot of opportunities to learn. And guess who else goes there, Andre? Other investors.
Correct.
Other note investors. So you'll be in a room with hundreds of people in the industry. And so you build relationships there. It's very important. Those are ways to get started. Now, going beyond that, you decide whether you want to be active as a note investor and build your own portfolio, or be passive and invest in a fund, and then pursue the appropriate path through building those relationships, talking to people. You will get access to opportunities that will be presented to you, and you can evaluate them and then decide what makes sense for you to move forward with.
I like it. You guys know I'm a huge proponent for education. That's what we do. That's the entire podcast. Yeah. So I talk about going to seminars a lot. And he just gave you 2 reasons on why you go. You go for the knowledge. You go to learn the information, but you go for the investors. You go for the like-minded people.
Yeah.
And so some people might think about seminars as like a waste of time, or why am I going to do this? Why am I going to waste a Saturday or 3 or 4 days? But the amount of connections you make, you can even make those connections in 2 days of being at a seminar, right? And so, you know, they say that, you know, 3% of the people that go to seminars use the information they get there. Well, it will be a great statistic to know the amount of people that go there and network and how they leverage the network that they acquire while they are at these seminars.
Yeah, that's so true.
How do people get in touch with you, with your fund, and get more information about you and how to find your book?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll share that. So my book is called The Little Green Book of Note Investing. You can find it right on Amazon. And if you want to get in touch with me, to connect with me, please visit my website, which is fredmoskowitz.com. However, if you prefer an easier spelling, you can go to giftfromfred.com, and I'll take you right to my website. I have a nice special report about note investing. I'd be happy to email that to you if you request it right on the website. And if anyone prefers to text me, you can do that as well by texting the keyword money to the number 215-461-4433, and then just follow the prompts from there. So I look forward to connecting with you. Always love talking with investors, learning what they're up to, and networking, and look forward to having some great conversations.
And you know, one thing before we let Fred go, it's going to go back to seminars. Earlier when I was talking to Fred, I was like, hey, do you know Rob? Rob Napolitano is the guy that came on the podcast a couple of weeks back, if you guys know what I'm talking about. They know each other, right? And note investing or just investing, period, even though the mainstream might make it seem like it's a big thing that everyone does it, not everyone does it. You know, not people can say they're investors, but people that are actively doing it, that's a different thing. And so, like he's saying, you met Rob, I'm assuming you met Rob at like a seminar or something like that. Or how did you get in touch with Rob?
Yeah. No, it's from being in the industry for many years. And yeah, we see each other at conferences all the time. And Andre, I know you're located in Southern California. There's lots of good events taking place out your way for investors. So that's wonderful. You can take advantage of that.
I like to mention that, you know, I think I've talked about it in one of my books. Coming and moving to Southern California was one of the best things that I did, because California has a huge emphasis on education. And so there's a lot of seminars that take place. Millionaire Mind Intensive. There's, you know, Robert Kiyosaki has been here. Nice. Doing Rich Dad Poor Dad seminars. So, you know, they travel around the world. But guys, go to a seminar in LA, right? I mean, that's a good way to do a trip and write it off. As a vacation, it's a vacation, but you can write it off because you went to a seminar. So make I would say any kind of vacation, you can always write them off if you know what you're doing. And going to a seminar, whether it be in California or Florida or somewhere that you want to go, look up an event in that city. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be some kind of seminar that you can go to that you can write it off. So
yeah, that's
guys,
true.
Take advantage of getting education and getting snowed investing, you know, look into Fred's book. And I know I'm going to look into it. I told Rob the same thing. I want to get into note investing because I keep hearing about it. And I'm getting emails about it because I've been in the industry, but I have never, ever really focused on getting into it. And I'm a lender myself, but I've never even, you know, considered holding notes and, you know, doing like what you were saying.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. It's a powerful, powerful investment class. And I feel that it warrants exploration by everyone, every investor. Explore it, check it out, see if it's something that might be right for you.
Well, Fred, thank you again for coming on. And guys, please get in touch with Fred and pick up his book.
Thank you, Andre. It was great being on the show today. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
Aren't you ready to start a business or grow your real estate investing portfolio? If you answered yes, allow Andre and the expert advisors at the Residual Roads Business Institute to fast track and put you on a path to full-time investing. The greatest transfer of wealth in our lifetime is occurring over the next few years, and you can take advantage if you know what to look for. In order to be successful at real estate investing, you need to learn how to leverage your current resources to generate quick money, big money, and retirement money. Let Residual Roads advisors craft a plan to get you through these phases using little or no money in 6 months or less. Don't wait for a job. Create one for yourself and others. Go to residualroads.com for mentorship, and for our free course, go to residualroads.thinkific.com.